We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Milo's Pro Rewards members, go big during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Buy more and save more with up to 20% off job site essentials like primed finger joint boards when you spend $3,000 or more. Plus, get up to 25% off PVC DWV pipes when you spend $250 or more. Shop Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 123. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Okay, welcome back to a very special episode of the podcast. Gideon, how is it going this week, man?
Going good. Just chilling, just beat Act 2 of Pentiment like an hour or two before this. Rewatched Alien, the first one, on 4K. That was fucking awesome. I've only seen that movie twice now, so really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if and I finished My Name is Earl. Yeah.
Oh. Good. Yeah. You've been working on that for a while, so I'm glad to see you finally finished that. And did you finish Elden Ring yet?
No, I haven't really been able to play too much games lately.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I think I mentioned last time, I'm at Moog, Lord of Blood.
Okay.
I fought him like three times or so.
Okay. Awesome. How's Princeton? How's it going, man?
It's going. Kind of a busy week. Traveling to New York for work next week. That'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. We don't have to dwell on that, though. I'll tell you more when I get back. I wouldn't say I beat Pentiment Act 2. I would say I feel like I lost Pentiment Act 2, but it is over.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt very similarly. And Paul, how's it going?
It's going good. Going good. Went to a horror movie festival over the weekend, or a convention, and it reminded me why I don't go to conventions. But still some cool stuff there. They had some like interesting actors from movies there who I was not familiar with, but they were part of big movies.
Were there any hot goth mommies at the convention?
No. I'm pretty sure I was the only person there with no tattoos. So I don't know what I expected, but you know, if you can disassociate yourself from the company you keep, then you know, you can have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Finished Act 2 of Pentiment almost as soon as we finished the last episode, so it's been stewing in my head for quite a while, and I'm excited to discuss with you guys where you all landed, because I've been very curious as to how much of what I experienced was due to my own personal choices, which, as we discussed in the last episode, may have been more unorthodox or controversial, or how much of it was all just part of the plan the whole time.
Right. Well, I'll mention real quick that I'm almost done with Dave the Diver. Thank God. I'm like probably 1 or 2 hours away from being done with it. I'm seeing Alien Romulus at Alamo Drafthouse tomorrow night.
Nice.
So I'm all ready for that. Gideon, quick hot take. I think Aliens is much better than Alien, and I think Alien 1 is a little bit boring, in my opinion. But our perspective, it's really cool, and I think there's like some cool art shit that happens in that movie, but it can be a little slow at times.
That's fair. I don't think I've seen Aliens all the way through. I'm actually pretty unfamiliar with most of the franchise.
Yeah, me too. Aliens is long.
Okay, and that's James Cameron.
Yeah, it's almost 3 hours, I think. But that's kind of par for the course.
I think I'm going to try and get to them this Halloween season.
Cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, guys, let's hop right into Pentiment Act 2 here. So, Alex Prince, you just finished up an hour ago. I finished it like Paul did like last week, 2 weeks ago. As soon as we were done talking about Act 1, I was like, okay, let's get into this. And I went back out and I probably put 90 minutes into it that evening, and then I finished it up the next day or whatever. So my memory might be slightly foggy on some of the stuff that happens in Act 2 here. But it basically opens up with Act 1 ended with us condemning somebody for the murder of the Baron. And then we get a major time jump forward of, I believe, about 7 years. So Andres had time to go home to Nuremberg? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get married, have a child, get an apprentice, and then he returns to Tassing. I don't really remember why he returns to Tassing, just to pay his respects to Piero, who has like recently died, right? Mm-hmm. And then shit happens while he's there.
One thing that's worth noting is he doesn't spend all of his time back at home. You're able to choose the country that he spends a significant amount of time during that transitionary period studying in. And that's also where he picks up his... That also determines the backstory of the apprentice.
Okay, I forgot about that.
Okay, that makes sense as well. And the apprentice's name is Caspar, right?
Yes.
Right, okay. Is it pronounced Caspar? I don't know.
I was just praying that he... I just kept thinking of the friendly ghost, of course.
Yeah.
So, let's we did for last time, let's start with the end. Did everybody have Andreas die in the end of Act 2 for them?
He definitely died for me.
Yeah.
Did he always die in the same manner where he died trying to save the ancient books in the church?
Yeah, that happened to me, too.
I think we're all. I think it's not that we're all consistent on that. I think that that's prior. I think that that has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Did it say for all of you that his wife got his estate? Got to keep his estate.
I
don't remember exactly, but probably.
I'm curious because there's a few things you get to say about your wife and your marriage, and I wondered if those impacted anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. We'll get back to it, I'm sure, but one of the most standout sequences of Act 2 for me was the dream sequence at night where you're like running through this maze and then it's Andreas like pontificating about his marriage that he's unhappy with and like the child that they had to bury and like all this super heavy shit that he doesn't talk about in conversation with random townsfolk. But it's like weighing on him really, really heavily. Like that, I thought that sequence was absolutely incredible. And otherwise, I don't want to say unimpressed by Act 2 because I still think it's a very impressive game and I really want to see where it goes in Act 3. But Act 2, I felt very like, I cannot believe that we're doing the same thing again. Did anybody else feel slightly disappointed that like it was basically the same kind of structure as Act 1?
I don't know. I don't think I was disappointed, but it does make me wonder if we're going to do something very similar in Act 3. And if it's just like almost about like cycles or something like that, and like every 7 years or whatever it is. Because of some of the occultist stuff that we've seen, it almost could be like a 7 year like curse or something in the way of like someone getting murdered. I don't know.
Does anybody else think that it's going to wind up with, like, somehow Andreas killed everybody?
I was wondering that in the first episode.
That would take me for a loop.
I don't know how they're going to explain it, but I have a sinking feeling. Like, can I tell you where my conspiracy on this comes from? And I have not read this anywhere. This is just what I'm thinking. In Act 1... one of the only story threads that's never really followed through on is there's a time where you're running through the meadow and you see a ghost in the aqueduct, right? And the ghost appears to like jump across part of the aqueduct, right? And then like somebody comes up to you and is like, hey, you know, what's going on, Andreas? And you're just like, oh, I just saw a ghost or whatever, right? You just have a conversation about that thing that you just saw in the aqueduct. In Act Two, you do that. You jump over the thing in the aqueduct. Right? Like, I think there's some connection between that unexplained story thread of, like, whatever Andreas saw back in Act One and what he ends up doing himself later in Act Two. Now, I don't know how that's connected, but I think that they are going to... I think there's probably been more of those things throughout the game that I'm not putting together, that at the end of Act Three, they're going to, like, flip the whole table over and they're going to be like, here's all the shit that we've been planting in the background that you did not notice, but here's everything, and you've been the killer the whole time. That's like my theory, and I'm sure in 2 weeks when we do Act Three, I'm gonna look super stupid. But I'm putting my stake in the ground.
I think maybe like a simpler explanation is just that it's showing you by the time Act Two rolls around that there's a logical explanation for the ghost and that someone is moving around the aqueducts.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know who yet.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. I just try to circle back. I'm not too disappointed by Act Two. I'm with Gideon. Like, I think they're trying to do something here. It's something about like cycles I don't know. I'm open to giving them a chance to do something in Act Three that makes it like ties it all together and makes it kind of rhyme.
But I think that that's true. Like it has significance in terms of like the religious themes of the game, like how these lands were once a pagan land and now they're a Catholic land, and eventually they're going to be something else as well. And there's this like kind of, you know, like you said, this kind of like circular rhyming nature to the whole thing. I definitely think that that's true.
It did have me wondering about like, if this was going to be a game about like the different stages of life, like mm-hmm. early adulthood, well into adulthood, and then almost being like as old as Piero or something. But I did love that it pulls the rug out from under you and you just die at the end in a fire trying to say books.
I thought for sure like Andreas, like I was open to the idea of Andreas dying at like Act Three. I didn't think we were going to switch protagonists halfway through the game. And you're right. They by presenting you with the older monks that also do the not calligraphy, would that be the right term for what they're doing?
Yeah, that's right. They're copying books in fine calligraphy, and notably, right, like the whole theme is that. That used to be the only way to get new copies of books, but we're at like some big technological turn where now there's a printing press in town. And
you end up playing as the daughter of the guy who runs the printing press. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And what book did you guys decide to give? What's the name of the girl that you end up playing as?
Magdalene.
Mm-hmm. Magnolia?
Magdalene, like Mary Magdalene.
Magdalene, right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Probably not I suppose like lots of people in the town have biblical names, but
right.
Do that, maybe.
Oh yeah.
Don't you wish Neil was on this podcast so he could tell
yes,
us?
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah. I've pushed this game on Neil so hard and he won't take the bait on it for he's like, I don't know if my laptop will run it. I'm like, dude, your laptop can open a JPEG, right? Like anyway. We'll do a thing where we get Neil to play it, and then we'll all do a podcast with Neil and see what he thinks of it or something like that. I'm sure.
Yeah.
He would love it. Yeah. I don't know what the significance of her being named Mary Magdalene is, but I'd be curious to see what the developers had in mind for that. Who did you guys condemn?
Or what book did you guys pick?
Oh, I picked the King Arthur. There was like a romance. It was like King Arthur or something.
Okay.
I gave him a science book, I think.
Okay. I gave him the book about like the printing press or like how to, what was it? Almost like a formatting book or something for mm-hmm. printing.
I'm pretty sure I also gave the science book that as Alex did.
Nice.
It's like a bestiary of many animals or something.
Why'd you guys pick the science book?
I don't know. It seemed like the one that I would have wanted most as a little kid.
Yeah.
With lots of animals and stuff.
Are you guys pushing for more women in STEM in the 1400s?
Yeah, that's right. Andreas was woke.
Very progressive for 1525.
Yeah, it's after he listened to Sister Illuminata explain like the plight of women that he decided.
Yeah. And then he assists with this proletariat uprising.
No, man. Did you guys get Otto to tell you that he had found Saint Moritz's head and he was going to reveal it at the...
I don't think I did.
I have a sign, Andreas. Just wait. I found... Because I was in Otto's good graces because I had, like, stuck by him. But he never did. I have no... That's, like, the weirdest loose end. I don't... Like, did he find... I'll never know what Otto found unless it somehow circles back in Act 3.
Something that's funny to me that I want to call attention to is we were hanging out this weekend and we were on a call, and Alex, I remember you saying, like, yeah, I really like that Otto character. I wonder how he'll be in Act 2. He and I are, you know, we're good buddies. Sam and I had already beaten Act 2 at that point, but I remember you speaking highly of Otto, and I felt so bad for you in that moment because... He is one of the best characters, and it was heartbreaking for me to see him go too.
That wasn't the person I thought they were going to kill. I thought, if anything, he was going to be like one of the suspects, like as you're getting into the beginning of Act 2, and he has such a prominent...
Who do you think they were going to kill?
God, I don't know. I thought maybe they'd kill the abbot or something.
Yeah, honestly.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know who I thought they were going to... Well, I don't know. Like, you know, once it becomes clear that he's like the leader of the proletariat uprising, like when he dies, I wasn't like shocked. I was like, oh yeah, well, I guess that makes sense. That's how this is going to go. So I felt, I think you mentioned this earlier, Alex, that you had like failed Act 2. I really strongly felt this way because they make you feel like you're going to have a really short amount of time. And so in my head, I was like, well, there's no way I'm going to be able to figure out who the killer is in this amount of time. So I'll just go talk to a few random people and kind of half-ass it. And then I'm sure, like, something is going to happen that is out of my control or whatever. And then, you know, the day passes. You get to the end of that first day. They're like, no, you have another 12 hours or whatever. And I was like, oh, shit. Well, now I feel stupid because I could have dedicated more time to investigating this stuff. So the only... route that I fully investigated was Hannah, the owner, the wife of the owner of the inn. And so she was the only person I even had the choice of condemning, although I wanted to pin it on. Did anybody do Martin?
I didn't investigate that one enough.
I did investigate Martin. Okay. And in the end, I chose not to condemn him, even though there was pretty good reason to. There was somebody else that I wanted to condemn even more.
Who'd you end up condemning?
Brother Guy, right? Did three of us?
Yes. Brother Guy.
Yeah, I was able to condemn Guy.
Okay.
I found out the most dirt on Guy. I was like, I had a really successful like first day finding stuff out about
him.
I had a lot of dirt on both of them. Did you guys end up figuring out what the deal with Martin is?
No.
I know what it is from talking to Grace, but I did not do it in the game.
Can I say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
So that's not Martin. The actual Martin died while he was away. Wow. And that's a different guy who came back with basically Martin's identity. And he and his wife fell in love. So they're keeping the charade going for the family. And there was very good reason to condemn him, but I guess I have a follow-up question. Did you guys go hunting with Leonard?
Yes.
No, yes. I would have liked to, but I did some other things instead.
Same.
So
I went hunting with him, and that guy's a fucking dickhead. I wish I could have condemned him for zero reason.
Oh, did he not die in your game?
Yeah, no, he died. He died anyway.
The interesting thing is, I wanted to avoid killing Leonard, but I figured out everything about Martin. So I'm pretty sure I did everything in the wrong order, and there was nothing about the sequence of events in the game that could accommodate for that. Because what happened was I had dinner with Leonard where he invites you to go hunting with him. And you can't just accept. The best thing you can do is say, like, maybe later. And so I did that. And then I went and I spoke to Martin's wife. I found out the dirt on Martin. And then I came back to Leonard and I went hunting with him. And when you go hunting with Leonard, he tells you, like, oh, Martin, that boy ain't right. There's something wrong with him. And you all, but while he's saying this, like, I already knew everything that was wrong with Martin, but I also knew everything that was wrong with Brother Guy. So it just came down to, okay, do I want to condemn Martin or Guy? And so I condemned Guy, but it turned out that the reason Martin was telling you all that stuff, I'm sorry, the reason Leonard was telling you all that stuff about Martin was because he wanted to draw attention away from Brother Guy, because I don't know if it turned out to be this way in your guys' game, but he and Brother Guy were in cahoots, basically.
Yeah.
So that was a very interesting turn of events for me.
See, I didn't investigate any of that stuff. I spent all my time chasing down... I did go hunting with Leonard, and he was like, talk to Martin. So I talked to Martin, and I couldn't pass the speech check. There was like a speech check where there was like a like a dice. It felt like there's a dice roll.
Previous actions.
Correct. I misunderstood this. So I kept reloading the game to try to pass the speech check, and I tried it like five times and I couldn't do it. So I looked it up, and they were like, no, you have to. It's not like you're filling up a percentage and then your chances get higher. It's like you have to get this threshold of previous good interactions, and then you can.
You have to not accuse him in Act One. And that was something that I wanted to do in Act One, but I just didn't get around to. And I like regretted it, but I wouldn't have been able to figure out what I did in Act Two if I had done what I wanted to do in Act One.
Okay. Damn. Let's see. What other threads can we pull on in Act Two?
We can, like, Brother Guy is stealing from the monastery. That's pretty well established. And, is also maybe involved in some occult stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I got with Brother Guy, I got to a conversation where one of the monks might have told me more, but I failed the, like, I didn't have all the right things that I said. So,
what was he doing occult stuff in Act One with Fenric?
Fenric? Unclear. I just stumbled upon like a book of necromancy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was weird. What was the deal with Hannah? So she's cheating on her husband.
Cheating on her husband with Leonard, and her motivation to me seemed fairly, like, I didn't really think that she did it, but her motivation was certainly there, which is that, like, Otto is going to scare all the tourists away from this fucking town, and we need the tourists in the town to keep the inn going. So we're gonna basically, like, I didn't think that she did it. I think she, like, basically seduced Leonard into doing it or whatever, like, you know, like if there was any way that was possible, that was the way that was kind of go down. But again, like, I didn't want to condemn her. The way the game is structured, it forces you to pick somebody, but it doesn't feel like any of the people you're condemning are actually the people who did it. And I think that feeling only becomes stronger as you get further into Act Two, and this feeling of dread kind of takes you over, of like, if this is a three act game, there's no way that the person I'm condemning in either Act One or Act Two is really the person who did it. And so I'm forced to take a choice that I know, like, most likely isn't, not only is not right, but it's like, I really don't have much agency, right? There's three people it can be in any of the, either of the acts, right? In Act Two, it's Martin, Hannah, or, Guy, right? There is no fourth option, I don't believe.
Are there four? There's four in Act One, right?
Fenric, Otilla.
The Stonemason.
Yeah, Stonemason.
Is there not another one? Oh, the nun. So there's four in Act One.
Which nun? The one that was assaulted by, right, okay. How do you guys think that the sister who's locked away in solitude is going to play into the rest of this?
Oh, she played a big part in my condemnation of Otto. She witnessed a confession, or rather of Guy, So Guy was stealing from the Abbey, and somehow Otto had found out, and Otto was going to tell the father of the church in town, right? And mm-hmm. So this kind of genius, if you're a Catholic, Guy goes and confesses to that father, because then the father is bound to secrecy by the sacrament or whatever. Does that make sense? So I don't know. And basically the sister who's locked away, like, overheard the whole thing, and she says, like, look, I know I can't share this, but this man has made a mockery of, like, the Blessed Sacrament of confession.
Right.
So fuck him up.
Okay. That's really interesting. I love the way they have presented the lawyering of the sacrament. You know, that's a really interesting way to tell that bit of story, to basically protect yourself with the vow of silence on the part of the priest.
That's
good shit. I'm disappointed in retrospect that I didn't fall down that story thread. I should say we have another act, and we have another creepy painting. Did you guys go into the church and see the painting of, like, all the people on fire?
Yes.
Act two?
Yeah.
No.
I know what you're talking about.
Because in act one, there's the dance of death in the basement where the bishop, the archbishop interviews you, that is clearly, like, foreshadowing events, like, that are going to transpire. And for act two, you go into the church and there's, like, the burning.
Could you not have seen that in act one if you just wanted to?
I don't think it's locked. I was never in that church in act one. I don't know if any of you guys ever got in there, but I certainly didn't.
Oh, that's probably true.
So, you know, look out, guys. You know, look out for that painting in act three, and might be able to figure out what's going on.
Where was the painting at on the map, I guess? Was it, like, in the abbey area?
Or? No, it's in the lesser church on the hill.
Okay.
Like, where the nun who is closed off from society, it's the same church where she lives.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Okay.
Did any of you do the confession? Like, Andre's confessions, and then gives it
up? Yeah.
Yeah, I did confessions.
I did not. What happened in confession?
A lot of people fucking people they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you, like, eavesdrop on a bunch of them, and you can. There's, like, three different people that go in front of you, and you can go up and, like, light a candle so you can eavesdrop on what they're confessing about. Cool. And then when you give confession, you can kind of pick and choose how much information you want to go into detail about, with, like, the dream he was having, like, with his wife and his dead son and everything. And then he would have you do, like, three Our Fathers or whatever the other prayer was.
Yeah. Hail Mary.
Hail Mary, right. And it was cool because then it cut to another, like, different art style, and you just see his hands and, like, him doing the prayer and everything.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's cool.
That's awesome. I feel like you guys got so many more cool interactions than I did in act two. Like, I feel like the only cool thing I did was go hunting with Leonard and just found out what a dick that guy was. And
yeah, I was like, he's an asshole.
Did anyone go and visit the monks when they were locked in the library?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you go convince the one monk that he should sing to raise the spirit of the other brothers, Paul?
Yes, I did.
That was a beautiful moment.
Did you so I also convinced the nuns to cook for all the monks hiding. And I was able to also get the panacea for the sick monk.
I did not do that.
That was very interesting as well. I have one question for the room, something I was curious about. So I really hate Casper. I was a dick to him every opportunity I could. I thought he's just this annoying little punk. And he survived my game, much to my dismay. I was kind of hoping there'd be an opportunity to, like, fuck him over, or, like, you know, let him be the one to burn alive. I don't know. Did that happen for any of you guys? No. What was the fate of Casper, if anything?
I think Casper lived, I think, in my game.
He lived in mine, I'm pretty sure. I don't think
Casper seems to have come back to the... I convinced him to leave, but then he seems to have come back, and I don't know what happened after that.
Yeah, I couldn't convince him to leave. It's funny you brought that up, Paul, but I was really nice to him the whole time. Because he was all, like, my surrogate son. Because of being so nice to him, like, I feel like I, you know, most people try and do in, like, a lot of RPGs, I couldn't convince him to leave, which I thought was a cool, like, how they turned that on its head.
That's exactly the reason that I asked, because part of me was assuming, like, oh, maybe I'm doing that thing where, like, you're doing the wrong thing. Like, if you want him to live, you have to be a dick, and then if you are nice to him, he'll end up dying, and I was taking the wrong approach as somebody who didn't like him.
Right.
I guess we'll see as Act 3 unfolds.
Yeah. Well, guys, any predictions about where this is heading in Act 3? I mean, obviously, we all know that you start playing as a different protagonist. He plays Magdalene. It's a big time jump, right? It's like 15 years almost.
Damn, I've got no clue.
I really like your theory that it's going to end up actually having been Andreas the whole time.
Yeah.
No prediction.
I can't get that image of the ghost jumping across the aqueduct out of my head. Like, it was just so specific, you know what I mean? Like, it was something that all of us were forced to see. And it wasn't like it happens in the background and you just walk past it. They explicitly make the camera look at it. It makes me think that there's something going on with that.
Yeah, I like that you brought that up. And I wonder... Oh, go ahead, Alex.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, I really am still so curious about, like, the purple notes we keep finding.
Right.
With, like, the warnings and shit like that. No fucking clue who that could be or where they're from. Like, I don't know. It's really interesting. I'm just really curious to see where it goes.
Am I misremembering this, or was there a suspect in either Act 1 or Act 2 that did not get a purple note? Because I think in Act 1, everybody who was a suspect had at some point received a note, and I think in Act 2, there was at least one person who didn't
receive Guy a note. And Hannah both got notes. So I don't know about Martin. I didn't follow that up. Hannah got a note, that's confirmed, and I got to look at the note because her son kept it and showed it to me.
Right, yep. Oh, shout out to Samuel, the mercenary guy in the bar fight. That guy.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very cool outfit.
Did you play cards with him?
I did, yep.
Yeah, I did too. I talked to a bunch of people and I felt like it was like mostly a waste of time. I talked to like the inventor because I was like, oh, that's an interesting snapshot of the time period, and I had dinner with him and the doctor.
Yeah, the doctor is who let me on to Martin being not.
Yeah, the doctor did point that out to me, and I just didn't have time to follow up.
Oh yeah, he pointed out the scar thing to me, but I was wondering. Yeah. I was like, is this more occult shit? I didn't even realize it could be somebody else.
Well, like I said, I talked to the doctor about it, and I was keen to follow up on that lead. And then I went and talked to Martin, and Martin was like, go fuck yourself. And that's when I reloaded the game and tried the speech check like 5 times, and I couldn't get it to go, so I just moved on.
Damn.
My mistake. I think they could have explained that a little bit better, that it's you're either over the ump or you're not, and it's not a dice roll, but that's beside the point.
Who made those Walking Dead games?
Telltale.
Yes, yeah, I feel like you're just supposed to know it's a Telltale. It's really a Telltale-like.
Right. I cannot wait. Like, I never care about video game stories, and I cannot wait to get out there after we hang up this call and like delve deeper into Act 3 and figure out what the fuck is going on in this game. I'm so freaking excited.
Yeah, I'm glad we are all getting to experience it together. Like, it's definitely one of the craziest and most engaging stories I've played in games in a long time.
Yeah. For sure. It's the only problem is that Neil's not here to share this with us. Any final thoughts on Act 2 before we finish things up? I know some of us got to get out of here.
Let's see.
I did have one, but come back to me. It was the thing okay. I was going to say.
Anybody else want to comment on the dream sequence where it uncovers like that Andreas is like having marital troubles or
beautiful.
Yeah, the dream sequence was definitely it provides a lot of like uncomfortable context to how Andreas has grown as a character and what he's going through. I do have to say just like thoughts overall, just because you were asking about Act Two, I did enjoy Act Two quite a bit. I am still very much engaged in the game and what direction it's going to take. I do feel like a little slighted because I know I talked about this a lot in the first episode we did on this, but I was playing the game from a perspective of like, how can I, as Andreas, acquire as much political power in this town as possible. Mm-hmm. And every decision that I made was coldly calculated to see like how I could gather as much influence as I could and gain as much power as possible. And it turns out like none of that really matters. Mm-hmm. And that's what it feels like. Maybe it does. But right now it kind of feels like, oh, none of that mattered. Like that's not really what the game was for. You know, and I was kind of like, I kind of have the wrong idea. That's how it feels. But it you know, maybe in Act Two, it'll turn out that all those decisions and connections I made as Andreas are still just as pertinent.
Yeah, I think how we all end up feeling about this is, I mean, it's so obvious. It doesn't even need to be said, but it is going to depend heavily on how Act Three kind of ties everything together. And games like this can live or die based on how much do you feel like your choices had impact? And so far, my disappointment with the game is that it doesn't seem to have more of an impact than it really does. Like, you know, we all got through Act One, and then a proletariat riot starts in town, and Otto dies, and Andreas still dies, and we all spawned as Magnolin and for Act Three. I mean, like, all the major beats seem to be pretty preordained, and it, again, if you buy into the theory that the person sending the notes is the real killer, then it doesn't even really matter the people that we're condemning. But maybe that's what they want us to think. You know, I'm totally open to the idea that like they are setting us up in this pattern in order to break the pattern and to like really turn the whole thing on its head.
Mm-hmm. Something, you know, in the vein of not mattering, like, are any of you convinced that Andreas would have ran back into the library to get the books? Like, why would that have been the thing he did?
Yeah, that seemed weird to me as well. That's kind of what I mean in that Act Two left me with a bad taste in my mouth in terms of like it, the inevitability of all of it started to really seep in for me and feel bad from a narrative perspective. And I wasn't satisfied with the way that Andreas went out. It seemed cheap. It seemed quick. He doesn't die on screen, which further leads me to believe that there's something weird going on with Andreas that we don't know about. But I'm also open to the fact that this is Obsidian. I mean, probably top three game developers in terms of writing and storytelling. And that they're probably using my disappointment with Act Two to set me up for something major to happen with Act Three.
That would be masterful if it's true.
Yeah. I think that's where it's going, but we'll see. Maybe it just isn't as good as everybody says it is. I'm open to that.
Play another hour of the game.
What if Andreas faked his own death because he was really the killer and we'll meet him?
Dude, that's what I'm saying, is that I think there's something fucking weird going on with Andreas. That's just like my take. And he didn't die on screen. We just get this text. It's like, yeah, he died, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like,
that's true.
Disappears from tasking for long periods of time. I don't know.
Bad shit happens when he's in town.
Yeah. The murders only happen when he shows up. So yeah, there's something weird about this guy, but I'm sure we'll learn more about that in Act Three. So.
I can't wait.
Hell yeah. Yeah. What's Gideon, what's on your shirt?
Oh, dude, Star Sidious, man. You know?
What does the text say? It just says Darth Sidious.
I think it just says Sidious. And then I got lightning bolts on one arm.
Dude, that's
and,
pretty sick, dude.
Nice.
And then metal font says Darth Sidious.
Yeah, it looks like a Ride the Lightning t-shirt.
Yeah, I love it. I thought you guys would like it.
Well, cool. Well, we'll finish up for Peniment 2 weeks from now. We'll have our Act 3 podcast, and we'll all talk about it next week. We're going to talk about the movie 1917, so don't miss out on that. All are welcome if you guys want to show up for that. So, any last words on Peniment Act 2?
I love the ending. It was beautiful, just visually. It was so beautiful to look at.
I took a screenshot of when they zoomed out and the entire town was on fire.
Oh, yeah. I was spamming the screenshot button with the end sequence all the way. Let me frame this in my house.
The music in this game, it continues to be like subtle, but incredible.
So good.
Just phenomenal stuff. So, okay. I'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
All right. I'm going to go.
All right. See ya.
Hell yeah. Have a good one, guys.
Later.